Greetings to all of your brethren there at Seaside, Oregon. Welcome to this last day, the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's amazing just how quickly the time passes, especially when we're all having so much fun and enjoyment. What a blessing it is to have such a beautiful place such as Seaside. Although I've never been to Seaside, I did go on the internet and do a search, and I got a general feel for the area, and it looks very beautiful, a very nice area in which to feast in, with a good number of activities, such as the Seaside Aquarium. That one kind of stuck out to me. And I can imagine that most everyone has had the privilege this week of experiencing that particular spot. Now, my name is Stefan Wilshaw, and my wife Sandy and I live in a small town in Ontario by the name of Lindsay. It's a quiet, more rural farming area, roughly 100 kilometers to the northeast of Toronto. Now, this Feast of Tabernacles, we flew to Summerland, British Columbia, where between 70 and 80 feast goers are meeting at the Summerland Resort on beautiful Lake Okanagan in the heart of the Okanagan Valley. This particular year was a year where our plan was to visit our son, our daughter-in-law, and our granddaughter who lived close by, just up the valley, about an hour and a half at Vernon, British Columbia. Otherwise, we would be likely with all of you live there at the Seatide Resort. Now, because this message is taped, and when I'm not with you live, I thought I would at least send you a picture along. I hope these pictures turn out. So, as you can see there in the visual, if it's actually before you there now, I'm sorry to say that I don't look anything like James Bond. And I definitely don't have as much hair as John Plunkett. But I hope the sound of my voice comes through okay, and that the photos I've included will help bridge the gap of me not being there. Well, I've entitled this sermonette, Lest We Forget. And as I go along, I think you will be able to catch the idea or the gist as to why I use that particular title. Each and every one of us is surrounded by the world with its many varied influences. As we are all well aware, those influences will always be a mixture of positive as well as negative. These different influences will always remain out there to press upon us. One of the many benefits in receiving and responding to the high calling that our Heavenly Father has given us is the understanding that we have of the master plan that is being worked out by the Godhead here on planet Earth. Even though we may from time to time go through unpleasant situations, we rejoice because of the salvation that is coming to this world and what the Feast of Tabernacles in its fulfillment actually pictures. Now, the Word of God shows us that those who are in Jesus Christ, and I might add here, the true Jesus Christ, will arrive at the final destination in the kingdom of God. In Revelation 20, after the binding of Satan, we read there that the saints reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Let me quote for you. Don't worry about looking there, but let me quote verse 6 of Revelation 20. And it reads out of the New King James Version, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now this, brethren, as we know, is a direct Feast of Tabernacles fulfillment. This is one of the positive influences that brought us to answer the high calling that God has given each one of us. And we all have this definite destination point that will have no end. Now let's turn, first of all, to our first scripture here together, to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. It's amazing just how much of a focus on the kingdom of God is found in the Hebrew word of God. Look at what David says here in Psalm 145. And under a subheading here, a song of God's majesty and love. Okay, Psalm 145, pick it up in verse 10. We'll read down to 13. I hope you're all there. I can't hear the sound of your pages turning there, but verse 10. All of your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Now here we see David singing about this everlasting kingdom and how the saints of God, now that's us, will be speaking of the glory and power of God that will usher it in all of its fullness. Wow, brethren, what a positive influence for all of us to meditate upon. Now at this point in this message, I would like to switch gears a little bit. I would like to share with you an experience that my wife Sandy and I had this past summer in Europe. We took a trip back in June to the countries of Belgium and Holland. And while we were in Belgium, we stayed in a beautiful cobblestone village by the name of Bruges, which is situated in the north of Belgium, very close to the North Sea, in the area called Flanders. Now, when we hear that word, Flanders, it brings to mind, perhaps, Flanders Fields. And the poem that the Canadian doctor of World War I wrote of, his name was John McCrae, and he wrote of this area. Maybe some of you are familiar with that poem and can even possibly recite it. And it starts off like this. In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row. Now, while Sandy and I were in Flanders, we decided to take a tour of some of the World War I battle sites and the many cemeteries that were in the area. What we've seen and heard while on this particular tour was very eye-opening and quite sobering. Our tour guide, in great detail, explained to us how World War I developed and actually spread into the country of Belgium. Now, to bring us forward a bit in history, talk about some of the background, this area of Flanders here in Belgium became what was known as the Western Front. Now, what Germany wanted to do was to invade France from different sides. And in order to accomplish this from the west, Germany would need passage through the country of Belgium in order to do that. And at the time, I just can't remember his name, but the leader of Belgium had good morals, and he was going to stick to the treaties that these European countries had formed, and he denied Germany that access. But Germany did not take no for an answer. And at that point, they immediately declared war on Belgium in order to get that Western passage that was so important to them into France. Now, during our day of touring the area of Flanders and hearing the graphic accounts of many battles that took place, we were just astounded and perplexed at the amount of carnage and destruction that took place. And after a while, we began to wonder, how could humans actually do this to one another? The disasters of war are unimaginable. Miles upon miles of countryside reduced to mud and sticks, towns totally destroyed and leveled, death like no one can even imagine. Sandy and I were so perplexed with the carnage and destruction that we learned of on that tour through Flanders Fields in the northern part of Belgium. And there, you know, there's Bible evidence, because of the sinful nature of man, that these horrific events happen. And the Word says that such are vanities of life. History tends to repeat itself, so it seems that there is nothing new under the sun, so says Solomon. Now, the minor prophet Joel, in the third chapter, I just want to touch on this idea very quickly and not belabor it. So I'll just quote it for you. Joel 3, verse 9 and 10, to make the point quick here. The quote in the New King James Version says, "Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong." Two short verses here in Joel, the third chapter, describing what has taken place in the past as well as what will be coming again, no doubt in the near future. Now concerning World War I, for 20 years, World War I Europe armed itself for a major conflict before the war actually started. And that's why I wanted to mention this particular section of Joel. Because here in Joel 3 it says, "Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears." Shows the preparation for war. Now this whole tragic event of 1914 to 1918, which will be the, well, people said that it was the war to end all wars. This was burnt in the memories of people, where the poppies of Flanders brought the popular saying, "Lest we forget." Well, we all fully realize that wars still exist today. Corrupt government leadership, who don't govern with godly principles, improper use of power combined with greed and the love of money becomes a kindling of war among the people and nations. Yes, the unfortunate casualties and fallen are sadly remembered. We have dedicated our bridges and our highways to them. All when we walk through the World War I cemeteries of Belgium, we couldn't help but notice, "Lest we forget." It was chiseled into the tombstone as a remembrance. Ah, my brothers and sisters, we haven't forgotten. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. And every year, this festival is a reminder to us of what is yet to come. Look around, brethren. You, yes, you are among the few who haven't forgotten. We all long for the fulfillment of what these days here at the Feast picture, don't we? Let's look at what the focus of Jesus Christ was at the very beginning of his ministry. Let's take a look and see what one of the large, well, I'm going to say one of the most important focuses was. Matthew, the fourth chapter. Let's picture the scene here in Matthew 4. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. In conclusion of that situation, the devil lost out. He had met his match. Notice Jesus' last words to Satan. And isn't it Satan that is the mind behind all battles and wars? Look at verse 10, Matthew 4. Christ's very own words. Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. The ministry of Jesus Christ, a little while afterwards, began at Galilee. The very first words of Christ recorded for us here in the account of Matthew is in verse 17. It says there, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And again we see Christ going all about Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom as he performed all kinds of miraculous healings upon the people. There is a huge focus, brethren, in Christ's ministry in the preaching about the coming kingdom. Look at verse 23. This isn't Christ's words, but this is recorded about what was going on. And Jesus went all about Galilee, verse 23, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. We don't have to even turn the page. Right across the page, Matthew 6, in the model prayer, we see Christ's very own words. Start off in verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. There is massive importance given to this coming kingdom, isn't there? Christ accentuated it to his listeners during his ministry on earth. And that focus, brethren, is still with us today. God the Father and Jesus Christ want the vision of the kingdom to never escape our thoughts nor our prayers. The Father wants it to be on our lips daily, as we see here in the model prayer in Matthew, the 6th chapter. Let's have a look at Isaiah, the 9th chapter. This coming kingdom is a destination place with Jesus Christ, our high priest, leading the way. We're not doing this alone. Well, how is it going to be? Just how is it going to be, brethren? Let's see how Isaiah put it here in Isaiah 9. We'll pick it up in 6, and we'll read 6 and 7. This is how it's going to be. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, one morning when I was just arising, I was actually working and preparing this message, and I usually study in the morning, so I entered into our home office, and I found this small note on the top of my Bible from my wife, Sandy. Now, she knew that I was working on this particular message and left me some food for thought on this little note. And here is the exact quote that was on my Bible that morning. And I quote, unquestionably, evil is a powerful foe, but God will crush it and abolish it from the earth forever. The enemy will be defeated, and God will usher in everlasting peace. End of quote. I thought that fit quite nicely into this message about the kingdom of God. Brethren, here we are at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, and for the past 7 days, we've been enjoying fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, as well as with each other, while at the same time focusing on many different aspects concerning the soon coming kingdom of God here to the earth. In the actual fulfillment of this time just ahead, the government will be based upon biblical principles, the love of God, and His laws. Just imagine that. Just wrap your mind around that. The perfection that will come during the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. Now, I can only relate to 57 years right now. 1,000. That's amazing. The whole structure and pattern of government with Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords will be ushered in. There will be a definite chain of authority with no one elected by the people. All appointments will come from the divinely resurrected immortals, born of God, no longer flesh and blood humans. I might add there, that's us. No more greed, wrongly based power or corruption. Real, lasting peace will be ushered in. The vast majority will not be living in deception like we see it happening today. All will come to know the truth. People will start living by God's perfect way of love, the way of true values, the way of peace, of happiness, of well-being, and of joy. Our present world does have its problems, but we are called to endure, to keep the faith. God's Word, the Bible that's before us, begins with paradise in Eden and ends in the paradise of God's kingdom. And that will just be a beginning point. But the Word does end like that. God will recreate the way that this earth is governed by and bring about everlasting peace. You see, this master plan of God continually reminds us as we keep all these festivals throughout the year. We must always remember, brethren, the wonderful plan that God has in store for us. Never forget. Brethren at Seatide, in Seaside, Oregon, please enjoy the rest of the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles and have an enjoyable last great day tomorrow. Please have a safe trip home after the feast and all the very best in the time ahead.